Simon's Laws of Interorganizational Communication and Collaboration, January 31st, 2022, by Phil Simon. That's me. A while back, a respected publisher contracted me to write a white paper for one of its international clients. On the surface, the project wasn't much of a stretch for me. After all, I've called myself a professional scribe for over a decade now. The topics also fell squarely in my wheelhouse. I had to fuse technology, analytics, productivity, and trends. Still, it didn't take a rocket surgeon to identify the potential red flags. Different organizations, different personnel at each organization, different time zones, different preferences for communication and collaboration tools, and different client versions, or visions, I should say, for the content of the white paper. I expressed my reservations to the publisher and the agent from the get-go. No worries, the publisher's rep told me before I signed on. We've got it all taken care of. During the introductory conference call with the client, I again voiced my concerns. Reagan said, trust but verify. The publisher had always used email on these types of projects, not a proper communication hub. Fine, the publisher told me. We'll give it a shot. We all agreed that Microsoft Teams would serve this essential function. In theory, this meant that no one would ever send an email. I would have preferred Slack, but I knew that I wasn't going to win that battle. In hindsight, I should have also insisted that we follow a RACI matrix. Hashtag foreshadowing. Falling into old patterns. Fast forward 1 month. Sadly, and despite my best efforts, the short project had quickly devolved into a morass of misunderstandings, email threads, scheduling snafus, and duplicate work. Not surprisingly, we were already well behind schedule. On the client side, people weren't staying in their lanes. I could read the room. People were starting to get testy. I went old school, picked up the phone, and spoke with the publisher. In short, it was high time that everyone actually spoke. Exchanging more asynchronous messages would only exacerbate our issues. I then created and shared a doodle with different options to account for our time zones. Calendly also does the trick, although plenty of folks believe that using it represents the acme of arrogance. I started thinking of another one of Simon's laws. The more organizations involved in a project, the more difficult it is to communicate and collaborate. I'll add this one if and when I update my book, Reimagining Collaboration. Of course, it doesn't need to be this way. Early conversations like the one I'd had and the ostensible buy-in that they produce can easily grease the communication wheels. There's just one caveat, though. People actually need to agree on a set of tools and then use them. Mind-blowing, I know. Reflections. Just to put a bow on this story, this straw broke the camel's back. I had already put in far more work than expected on this flat rate engagement. For example, the publisher had told me that the client had formally signed off on the white paper's outline. It turned out, though, that no one had even started it. There was nothing left for anyone to approve. At that point, I exited stage left. As of this writing, the white paper hasn't seen the light of day, and I would be astonished if it ever does. As I reflected upon the engagement, it was just another example of how poor communication and collaboration derailed what could have been a promising project. Simon says, project charters are meaningless unless people, you know, follow them. As I write in my new book, the explosions of asynchronous and remote work have accentuated our existing differences in our work styles and preferences. To that end, it's never been more essential to establish a proper project charter, one that codifies team processes and tools. When no one abides by the charter, after repeated reminders, however, it's only a matter of time before things break bad.